I think the first thing I'd say to you is that in November of last year, we integrated or merged the old Sussex County Cricket Club with the Cricket Board to form Sussex Cricket Limited. Now, our whole desire for that is to increase participation and increase quality at all levels. And so the first thing we did in terms of structural piece was to appoint a director of cricket. So Keith Greenfield has been appointed as director of cricket. Our external names were considered for that role, but it was felt that he was uniquely in a position, having been the academy director, having been a pro cricketer, and having knowledge of the Sussex Cricket Premier League clubs to do that position well. I think in time, Adrian, that's going to prove to be a very significant appointment. And already in the first 6 months, he's got ahead with many topics, such as, for example, there are now six new coaching modules available free to all clubs. He's put in place a new talent ID program. He's working very hard with the league clubs, and also with Oxford and Guernsey. We've just announced within the last few days a launch of a new dedicated women's academy and EPP. So these are all very much medium-term projects. But in the shorter term, he's very much, part of his role is helping the head coach in terms of deliver a three-year plan to improve our cricket. So that's the first position. Then the second position, in terms of the successor as head coach, it was determined that Mark Davis was absolutely the right person there. I'd say a couple of points here. One is that, like any well-run business, you should have succession plans. I mean, we're always expected to do that with cricketers, and I would say the same should be for other key appointments. But I think it's also worth putting on record that prior to the appointment of Mark Davis, that Zach Tumazi, our chief executive, spoke to a lot of significant figures in the cricketing world, including people, and it would be improper of me to name them, but people that you would well recognise as people with international coaching reputations. And Mark was very much given a very, very good reference. And indeed, you may remember, he was shortlisted for coach of Sri Lanka, and I can tell you he's been offered other significant jobs which he's not taken. So we're very comfortable with that. You know, it's his first year in role, and I think if we say the results have been disappointing, on the other hand, I think the very exciting pieces here have been the emergence of some of our new young cricketers. You know, he's clearly given the brief to blood the youngsters. So as well as Luke Wells kicking on, as well as Joyce and Nash churning out the runs in championship matches, as well as Mills and Jordan being such a good T20 bowling option that they are open for England. First time Sussex Bowl has done that since the 1930s. I think the really exciting piece is the emerging talent. Look at the bowlers. You've got George Garton, Stuart Whittingham. Got other people like Geoffrey Archer, Harry Finch, Phil Salt, and there are four other people that we've got very high hopes for in the second team Oblique Academy. So I really think that whilst the results have been disappointing, the actual potential is very strong. But clearly we will also be doing our best, and I know that Mark and Keith are looking at the moment to try and strengthen the squad for next year.
Let's come back to some of those young players in a minute, Jim. Can I ask you about another member of the coaching staff who came in? And some sort of odd that he came for such a short period of time, sure. And that was Murray Goodwin. He was here, and no sooner had he arrived and he'd gone again. And some people saying, well, perhaps it would have been better to have a batting coach for the entire season.
OK, I mean, that's a point of view, isn't it? Yes. All I can say to you is this, that the pro cricket staff are given a budget, and it's up to them how they spend the money. If they determine they want to have more coaches or more players, that's a matter for them. I think they rethought what they were going to do on the batting coach. Initially, it was going to be a full-time job. They had some very good CVs, I'm aware of, that applied for the job. But that's what they decided to do. And ultimately, you know, we're not here. The board is not here to micromanage our senior management team. They're in position, they have our full backing to get on with it, and ultimately they're accountable for it, and you know, we're confident in what they're doing. Having said that, you know, this is Mark's first year in role, and no doubt he, like all of us, we'll reappraise what the situation is, and you know, he might well want to go with a different coaching setup next year, but that's a matter for him.
So that management team is Mark?
Well, it's Mark working with the captain, working with John Lewis, with input from Keith Greenfield. And then there are other people that will have input. So, for example, John Barclay, who's, you know, a massively well-connected person, is chairman of our cricket committee. There are other people, other soundings they will take. But ultimately, it's the cricket management of the head coach, supported by the captain and the director of cricket and his other coaches, that will really drive the way we go forward.
So really, Jim, at the end of the day, that was a budgetary consideration that Murray had come for a period of time, and that's how the management team chose to spend the budget.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, they might not have had a coach, and they might have had the money on a player, or, you know, that was what they decided to do. And, you know, they'll have to review. You'd have to ask them what they felt. And all I can say is, from my perspective, Murray worked extremely hard with a lot of players, but ultimately, all the coaching in the world, it's up to players to perform. You know, that's their job.
And you've spoken about some of the younger players. There does seem to be a lot of exciting talent coming through the ranks. And Luke Wright has said these young players will get their chance. How long does he give these young players to prove that they are good enough for Championship cricket?
Well, again, that's a matter for the professional cricket staff. And in saying that, I'm not shirking my responsibilities, but very much it's up to us to appoint the right people to get on and do it. But I think, just playing back what you said, I think what's really interesting is, you know, 2 or 3 years ago we were criticised of having no quick bowlers, and now it seems, you know, we might have 3 or 4 that offer really exciting potential. And they're going to grow at different periods of time. But I remember John Lewis saying a really interesting point to me, and that is that the only way you really find out about these players is by allowing them a really good opportunity. So I don't know how many matches that qualifies that, but I think by the end of this season, Adrian, we're going to have a much better idea of the capabilities of the whole squad.
Can I ask you now move on to one of the new signings you alluded to is Mr. Fevea Raman, who, as we sit here today, I don't know, perhaps you could tell me, Jim, whether he's going to arrive, whether he's going to play for Sussex eventually.
Well, my goodness, Mr. Fevea Raman, I'm sure Zach could write you a book about this at some stage. But no, let's again wind back. First of all, I think it's great credit to Mark Davis and the coaching team that they had identified him, spoken to colleagues around the world, and were tipped off about Fizz before I think he was on the world stage. Indeed, he exploded. He wasn't even an IPL player when we signed him, that, to my knowledge. But what's happened is this is a young man who is still extremely young. He doesn't speak English. He got injured, homesick, and, you know, I guess if you're in the looking from the Bangladesh Cricket Board's point of view, he is a very precious commodity and arguably their stellar signing, who could well be a world star for several years. So there's been a bit of horse trading about how much time he'd come to visit us. It's been complicated by a lot of technical details around visas and things. All I can say to you, Adrian, is that the management team here, working with various other agencies, including the ECB, Home Office, and so on and so forth, have expended an awful lot of time. So my question to them is it worth it? And their view, which, you know, I endorse, is that this is a really exciting world-class player. If we can get him over here, we think he can make a difference. If he comes here, he'll inject something new into the team. And importantly, in the longer term, if we develop a relationship with him, possibly he might play for us in the future. So, you know, I can understand why we're making so much effort to try and get Fizz over here. I think within the next day or so, we'll find out if he finally arrives.
Yeah, because the next T20 game is coming up on Thursday, and I guess thereafter there's only 2 T20 games, unless, of course, Sussex progresses into the quarterfinals.
Well, indeed, yeah, and there's no point other than being positive. I think we've got a very good T20 side. Unfortunately, you know, we a couple of times have failed to cross the line when we would have expected to do so, and that is massively disappointing and massively frustrating to everyone. And I can well understand why our supporters are less than enamoured by the outcome there, but I can assure you that's not because of want of effort or preparation, but ultimately, you know, T20 is a bit of a random game, and sometimes you lose matches you think you should win, and sometimes you win matches when you think you've got no chance. But we're very focused on trying to do our best in all three competitions so that we finish the season as best as we can, and also we lay really good foundations for next year.
Perhaps not a question for you, Jim, but would the club perhaps have been better off when Mustafa Zia hadn't arrived after 4 or 5 matches to have cut their losses and said, right, we'll just go for somebody else?
Well, I'm sure this was considered by the management, and indeed, we have had people, haven't we? We've had David Visa, who is a very good all-rounder, and then the Sri Lankan Kulashreka, whose name I can't pronounce, forgive me, properly, but he fitted in really well. So, you know, they did have plans B and C available, but this guy is an X-factor cricketer. I mean, interestingly, people around the circuit said to me, and as of other members of the national press, we'd love to see this guy playing in England. So, fingers crossed.
Another thing, Jim, and perhaps a slightly difficult question, but I'm going to ask you nonetheless. After the defeat against Hampshire on Friday night, there was a bit of speculation. There was a tweet from, and it was a tweet that was in the public domain from Matt Prye, a legendary figure down at Hove, and it was in response to someone who had said things were a bit of a mess and would Matt get involved and help? And he said, I would love to help and have offered my services, but it's up to the powers that be to make that decision. So he was referring there, Jim, to what help Matt Prye could provide. So I just wonder, have there been negotiations with Matt Prye, or is he someone that the club would like to get involved?
To my knowledge, Adrian, I believe he had a meeting with Zach quite a while ago, and I don't truthfully know the outcome, because I'm not quite sure whether it's actually on the cricket side or the commercial side. So, but that's a matter between them. And one thing we don't do is we don't debate in public sort of HR matters or things like that. I think the other thing I'd say to you is I think it's unfortunate for people to make those kind of comments on social media. You know, if people are interested in helping us, then the appropriate way is really to contact the club through the chief executive or others and see where we go from there. So we rule nothing in or nothing out, but there are the right channels to go through.
And on a personal basis, have those comments on Twitter disappointed you, Jim?
To be honest with you, I don't follow much of that stuff, because, you know, one thing for certain, supporters are very passionate for understandable reasons, and one minute, you know, people are heroes, and the next minute, we're villains, and that's kind of the world we live in at the moment. But ultimately, you know, I'm very clear about the club, as are the board and my colleagues. We're doing our best to try and win things in the short term, but the real test is what our legacy's like in 5 or 10 years' time. And in that context, the integration of into Sussex Cricket League will, I believe, pay very long-term dividends. So, for example, we're currently coaching in 40% of the primary schools in Sussex, and we're aiming to increase that to 70%. We're doing a lot of work with women's and girls. We're working a lot with clubs. So, yes, I fully understand people's frustrations and disappointments in the short term. And yes, we want to do well. But equally, you know, we need to look at the bigger picture. We need to look at strengthening cricket in Sussex. And I think we've also got to be very open-minded about what might happen to all the counties, because the current business model is more or less broken. We've got a number of counties sinking under huge debt, and we've got other ones with very low income lines. So I think there will be quite big changes coming up in cricket in the next few years.
Mm. Interesting. And you spoke about legacy, and back perhaps in the glory years of Sussex not so long ago, perhaps there was the Spencarmer legacy, there was money available. Clearly that money isn't available now, Jim. Is that likely to change, or is the message to the Sussex supporters, this is now a new era, this is about development, and people will need to be patient?
I think it's a bit of both. Well, first of all, let me just take the Spencarmer thing head on. The Spencarmer legacy was not used to buy success. Predominantly, nearly all of that money went in infrastructure. So we've now got a ground really fit for purpose, we're really proud of, and we've got other facilities. So actually, one good bit of the Spencarmer legacy is we've now got a more diversified income stream. We've got new business units. You've probably seen the northeast corner, which means we've got a rental income. So we're doing our best to get things right. Now, what we do have, and we've continued to have, is a sort of a mid-sized playing budget. And that's the space we're in, you know. Unless we have, and it might be possible with new T20 competition, that the counties get a lot more money as a dividend from the ECB, we will continue to be a mid-size budget. But, you know, in that, we should still definitely remain very competitive. We're aiming to win titles, but I think, as Mark Davis is on record, and we're fully supportive, we're going much more down the homegrown route, because, you know, then people are bought into your culture and they don't cost a huge amount of money, and these moves don't always work out anyway. I remember a couple of seasons ago, we went for two seam bowlers, and I won't mention who they are, that were fancied by other people, and they ended up I think the two of them playing virtually no matches for their new counties because of various injuries and other records. So signing people isn't always the panacea. But having said that, we are looking to make a couple of significant signings over the close season. But obviously, we're always in competition with other people. And one of the best people that have joined us for cricketing reasons. They haven't just chased the big money. So somebody like Ed Joyce wanted to improve his batting. He came and joined us. People like Chris Jordan and Ty Mills wanted to play international cricket, and they've done so. So I think we've got a really great record of developing players, and we will continue to try and get players, obviously in competition with other counties.
And final word, Jim, about your skipper, Luke Wright. It must be difficult for Luke because he's come and he's taken on the captaincy in all three formats this year. He always fronts up to the media people. He seems to be a good figurehead for the club. Jim, would that be right to say?
I think he's an iconic figure for Sussex. He's a very good front man. Again, I've had feedback from people. I haven't sought it, but a lot of people have told me, unprompted, he's doing a really good job as captain. It's a tough job. Leadership is a very tough job. It's very easy to criticise. It's very easy to use hindsight. But again, this is his second year captain the T20 comp, but his first year captain in other formats. I think he will only get better as captain. He's certainly incredibly respected, and he's a great figurehead for Sussex cricket. So we remain very confident. Clearly, at the moment, we need to get results in the short term, but I think the medium term, our prospects are very strong.